listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
You know, it's really hard to throw that shit and try to hit the buttons at the same time. This is AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 41, part 2.
41, part 2.
And we're coming at you live here from the AKC, well, actually the TTN studios here at TTN-4729er, Illinois. All right, Scott.
I'm retarded.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm retarded. So am I. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you okay?
I am.
That's out of sight.
All right, John. Hey, speaking of episode 41, let's talk about episode 40 quickly.
Already?
Yes.
What, did we screw up?
No.
What did I do?
Professor Tom from Kinky Sice came in.
The tie is tied. And
you were drinking. You drank two bottles of wine. Now, tonight, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Grey Goose Vodka and
Grey Goose
Mountain Dew Code Red. Diet Mountain Dew Code Red. Sorry.
Excuse me.
You got to tell me to hit the dump button, for that.
But in much
Here, tell
more,
me you're going to sneeze.
I'm going to sneeze,
now,
man.
Now sneeze. There you go. Oh, it came on my mic.
But in moderation is what you're... That's the key.
Yeah.
Okay, Grey Goose in moderation.
Yeah, Grey Goose.
Grey Goose.
I've only drunk a quarter of the bottle.
Drunken.
Dranken.
All right, John. Well, now you saw a couple of movies, but before we get into that, a guy at work, a colleague at work...
I got to say again, you got to listen to Kinky Sex Radio at kinkysexradio.com.
With Professor Tom.
With Professor Tom.
And Punky.
He's our soulmate. And Punky, they're twins. We forget about it. Forget about Punky.
Punky with Pauly B and Tony Hearn.
I'm going to download all the shows that I have missed so I can listen to them on the plane on my way to Arizona. And Scott, you got to get Skype or something so we can do the show while I'm there.
How can we do the show while you're there? I don't know how to run the shit and record crap.
If you give me the upload and all that stuff, all you got to do is just show up with a headset and a microphone and do your thing, and I will take care of everything.
That'd be out of sight.
But I need to have a place to FTP or something.
FTP. What? FTP what?
The sound file.
Oh, right.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
File transfer protocol?
Right.
I need that.
Okay, you got it.
Because it won't be 5 meg, will it?
No. Unless we do a super short show.
A bunch of super short shows?
This is Mike's super short show.
15. Oh, we got snowboarding. Who won the speed skating, Scott?
I think Hosuck.
Hosuck?
Lee Hosuck came in second. An Yun Su won the 1,500 meter short course speed skating. And Hosuck came in
and
second.
And Apollo wiped somebody out again.
Again. And didn't even make it in the final round.
God damn it.
Apollo.
You got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
So anyway, this colleague at work, he has Sirius Radio. He got all this hardware and for Christmas. And then he went out and got some other hardware that he liked better. So he gave me the hardware. And he's giving me a trial period to listen to Sirius Satellite.
Wow.
Using his hardware before I make a decision if I want to buy it. If I do not want to buy it, he'll sell it on eBay or whatever.
That is out of sight.
So I've had an opportunity to listen to Howard Stern now that he's on Sirius. And a couple of big differences. It just, there's this whole thing, and I can't quantify it. But there's only like 2 million subscribers.
Right.
So there's maybe 2 million listeners to me. Where before, he was 12 or 15 million people were listening. So now that it's just 2 million, you don't, it's not like being in a privileged club or anything. It's like, yeah, there's only 2 million people listening, so what's the point? It's really not urgent. It's really not, it's cutting edge anymore, you know?
Right, right.
Because he's not on the public airwaves. He's on something you have to pay for. The other thing is, Artie Lang.
Right.
Doesn't say a goddamn thing.
He doesn't?
He really doesn't. In like an hour time, he'll make one or two comments. That's it. And I'm thinking, why are they even paying this guy? So I asked my colleague. I said, hey, what's up? Artie doesn't even talk anymore. He said, well, yeah, the first couple of days, Artie was talking way too much and swearing the whole time.
Oh, really?
So he my colleague theorizes that Howard or somebody took him aside and said, hey, man, you got to rein it in. Because he was saying, fuck, fuck this, fuck that.
So what?
Well, so what? Well, whatever.
So he censored him?
I guess they censored him.
Oh, forget it. Then I'm not getting it.
But it is
I'm getting XM. I want to hear Oprah.
It is like his old show. I haven't heard any of the grade A guests that he used to get on his old show, though. They're like second or third tier celebrities. But the other thing is, there's not a lot of swearing on it. I mean, there's a lot of content that's very, would never pass on public radio. But I was listening to it, and in this one part, they had Dee Schneider on. I guess Howard and Dee Schneider had a falling out. And some guy called up, because Dee Schneider was bragging about his ratings, because he took a radio gig in Hartford.
Right.
And he said he cut into Howard's ratings. So this other guy called up, and he's like, what are you talking about? Your ratings never cut into Howard's ratings. You don't know what you're talking. So they went back and forth for a while. And then the guy said, Dee Schneider, you fucking suck, you fucking piece of shit. And my first reaction was, holy shit, Howard's going to get in trouble, man. And then I remembered, oh, it's satellite radio. They can say that kind of shit. And then I wonder about people that listen to our podcast.
Right, at work or something.
Because it is kind of, the audio quality is good enough. And do they get lulled into a sense of they're listening to broadcast radio and then we'll just throw in a cocksucker or something. And does it throw them for a loop? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to give it Howard another 2 weeks and make my decision. If I had to make my decision today, I would say, here's your equipment back. I am not interested.
Yeah, it's not, there's nothing really that great about it. I heard that, well, I haven't listened to it, but that I thought was probably similar.
Oh, and then, so Howard has to fill up all this time. He only does 4 or 5 hours a day, and then he's got to fill up 24 more hours. They do rebroadcast his show, but the crap that he has on, he has Howard Stern News with Gary Delabate.
Yeah.
And some other jamokes, and they talk about the show that just happened. So they talk about the Howard Stern show that just occurred. It is the goddamn lamest thing I've ever heard in my life. They got to. Oh, and I was listening to Bubba the Love Sponge. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Okay, I got a sound bite now.
I don't know what happened to my tongue.
Bubba the Love's Bump.
He's Bubba the Love Sponge. He's on Howard Station. So I'm at work, right? And I'm coding stuff. I code stuff at work. So I'm coding. And Bubba the Love Sponge has these two chicks from comeonmyface.com.
Oh my God.
And the one chick is like, oh, he's asking him, so how many guys have come on your face in a row? What's the record? Oh, 16 guys in a row come on my face. Oh, I love when guys come on my face. And then the other chick, oh, I love it even more when I have a cock in my mouth.
Oh,
and
my
I pull it
God.
Out and they come. I had to take the earphones off. I had to turn it off. Because I couldn't concentrate on my superior coding, my programming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
So it's not something you can listen to if you're at work. If you're at home and you're jerking off, yeah, okay, no problem. But not at work. So I had to turn Bubba the Love Sponge off.
Oh, that's too bad. That's just too bad, Scotters.
It is too bad.
You know, I'm on our what do you call it? MySpace.
MySpace, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you log in?
Yeah.
Sweet.
They left some posts. Joe and Daisy.
Joe and Daisy left some posts?
Yeah, Daisy left. Jump on board this whore train. Round number 2391. There's pictures of Angie's breasts. Jennifer, Melissa. I don't understand. Maybe I'm too old for this damn thing.
I think I'm too old.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't get it. These kids are like way advanced.
Here's the thing about Daisy that's peculiar is she's 17, but she changes her the look of her MySpace like every other day. And she does these train things. And she's always asking for comments about her photographs. So it leads me to believe that the FBI is behind the whole goddamn thing, trying to find guys like you and me,
right,
that want to meet her at the bus station. You know what I'm saying? And right, then when we show up, they handcuff us and take us off to wherever they take right, people that have sex with underage or want to have sex with underage people. God. You know what I'm saying?
Erica's got as many friends as we got.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Damn.
So, yeah, we do need to figure out that whole MySpace thing because we can post bulletins and, yeah, and such and do other amazing things with MySpace.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, man.
And the other thing is the 6 degrees of separation. We're only 2 degrees separated from Howard Stern because right, of somebody. And I want to check out and just link. You can click and click and click, and you can get 30 degrees separated, be completely can't remember how to get your way back, but see these other people and their profiles and what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have something. A comment. We have two Zachs. We have two Zachs that are friends of ours.
Two Zachs.
I think one of our Zachs is El Nocho. El Nacho? And I have a real hard time reading his MySpace because he's got a green background with, like a pink
yeah
letters
right,
and it gives me a headache. And I want to read it, but
old,
I can't.
You're so old.
Is that
man,
because I'm so old?
You're an old man.
That must be it.
It's gotta be it.
It's gotta be.
Spike and Rachel aren't answering, man.
Well, that's all
kind
right.
Of a fucking radio show we got here.
Hey, man, you saw some movies,
crap,
right?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you see?
I bought some DVDs, and actually, I bought one. I wanted you to come over, and it got late. It was what, Tuesday night?
Tuesday night.
You had some shit to do.
Shit
and
to do.
It
yeah
got late, and I finally about 10 o'clock. I looked, and yeah, you weren't coming over then. So I popped in The Island. I bought The Island, Doom with The Rock. I don't know why. And Waiting, I think it's called.
Waiting?
But I didn't watch that yet.
Never heard of that. Waiting.
I think we should watch it together.
All right.
So anyway.
What about Brokeback Mountain?
You know, my wife went to see that tonight.
She did.
Yeah.
Can we get her down here to get us a quick Spiny Norman review?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Maybe in part three.
She's going to have to share a mic.
That's all right.
You're okay with sharing one of your mics?
Yeah, I'm okay with. I got three of them. They're standing upstairs. They're waiting for something to do.
Well, anyway, this movie, The Island, I thought was pretty cool, and I didn't think it was going to be that cool. I saw the preview in the theaters, like, whatever, months ago, last year. And I thought, well, it's kind of like Logan's Run. And it was, kind of.
But is that with Scarlett Johansson and
yeah,
that...
Yeah, Ewan McGregor. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Little synopsis. Lincoln 6 Echo McGregor is a resident of a seemingly utopian but contained facility in the 21st century. Like all of the inhabitants of this carefully controlled environment, Lincoln hopes to be chosen to go to the island. Reportedly the last uncontaminated spot on the planet, but Lincoln soon discovers that everything about his existence is a lie. He and all of the other inhabitants of the facility are actually human clones. Lincoln makes a daring escape with a beautiful fellow resident named Jordan 2 Delta, which is Johansson, relentlessly pursued by the forces of the sinister institute that once housed them, Lincoln and Jordan engage in a race for their lives to literally meet their makers. So,
wait a minute. Was that a synopsis? I think I could have watched the movie in the time that it took you to read that. Holy shit. What if they're clones?
No, it's 136 minutes long, Scott.
So what if they're clones? They still have consciousness, right?
Bring in the clones.
So what makes a clone different from a genetically organic matter created human being?
Well, what they do is they... you don't know what's going on in the beginning because it's almost like two movies in one. One movie is the futuristic city in the beginning, which is very almost typical of THX-1138. You remember that movie? You said, I fell asleep.
Yeah, that was
it's
one
Lucas's
of the goddamn
first movies that he ever...
I've ever seen.
Well,
and I like Robert Duvall.
I thought it was a great movie, and I've seen it like four or five times, and I'll see it again. Because I liked it had that Orwellian kind of thing going on, and everybody's head was shaved, you know, because of lice. Everything's white, pristine. Everybody's the same. There's no sex allowed. Well, this is kind of like the same thing. The guy wakes up every day, but he starts questioning stuff. Why are my clothes always perfectly folded? Who washes them? Why do I got to wear white? Can I have another color? And they're wondering, what's the deal with this guy? And, you know, it turns out he is a clone. But they take this clone and they feed all this information to him. Like that they've been contaminated or they've been rescued from contamination. The Earth has been contaminated from some sort of nuclear fallout. Mm-hmm. And they've been saved. And every time they bring a new guy in, you know, that's been saved or a woman or whatever, mm-hmm. he looks kind of like a retard. He's sitting there trying to work in these factories, filling vitamins into these tubes. And they're all like, where do they go? Where do these tubes go? What's this for? And Ewan McGregor keeps asking these questions. And the greatest thing is, like, he meets up with Steve Buscemi. And Steve Buscemi is like a janitor or something or some sort of a computer guy. He's like a janitor for the computer system. And what's his name, McGregor, who is Lincoln Six Echo, he like escapes every once in a while to meet up with this dude and talk to him. And he the one question he asks him, Lincoln Six Echo says, what's God? And Buscemi says, oh, well, you know, when you close your eyes and really wish for something. And Echo says, yeah, well, God's the guy that ignores you.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. I guess you had to be there. But anyways, I remember to be so clueless is when you fucking tell one of your stupid reviews.
Right.
Anyway, so he ends up this chick that he's hot for, who Johansson... he keeps, you know, meeting up with her, and there's like these thought police, and they show up and they say, hey, proximity alert, you know, watch your proximity, back up, go sit down somewhere. And they keep them from having sex or anything. But then you see a bunch of women that are pregnant walking around. You're thinking, what the fuck is that? And they're all longing for this island, you know, or this great place to go. But all they do is they take... What they're using the clones for is a bunch of rich people show up, throw some of their DNA into a petri dish. They grow a clone out of them, and then they use that clone to, you know, so they can live longer. So they can live another 60, 70 years.
So they transfer memories or something?
Well, that's the thing that really gets all fucked up is the doctor there that came up with this idea. At first he wanted to do, you know, everybody was in a vegetative state, and it didn't work. They had to have some sort of feeling and mental stimulation. So he had to have these clones. So it's a big secret that these clones are there. And what happens is this McGregor guy, or the Lincoln Six Echo, he draws a picture of a boat and with a name that's in Latin. And they said, hey, we never taught him this stuff. So it's like memory is transferred through genetically through the DNA.
Nice.
Like evolutionary psychology.
Okay.
Some kind of stuff like that.
Right. Okay.
So it plays with that a little bit.
So wait a minute. They send him to the island to, like, mature? And
no, the island is a bunch of bullshit. Whenever they run this lottery, supposedly, it's not really a supposed lottery. Their sponsor that they call the person who actually pays for the clone to be created got, you know, their liver, you know, they drank too much and they got... you know, their liver is conked out. So they call up the place and say, hey, man, I need my clone's liver. Oh, hey, all right.
Oh,
the lottery. You're going to the island. They suck his liver out.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's what they do. There's a great scene with, what's his name? Michael Clark Duncan, that big black dude.
It's huge.
Huge. Where they gotta pull a liver or something out of him, and he wakes up on the operating table when the bone saw is cutting through his chest, and he takes off, and then they shoot him in the calves with these like fish hooks, and attach the cables, and then they drag him back.
They drop him.
Yeah, they take him down. It's awesome. And then why I say it's two movies is the movie of the beginning with this futuristic city, then they end up going escaping. And then there's this whole other movie of them running like Logan's Run and hooking up with some people to help them out and stuff. And there's some great chase scenes and some way unbelievable action. Like there's a scene where they're on the top. He figures out how to drive this jet bike and he's flying it all around and he crashes through a glass window of a, you know, a high-rise building, and comes out the other end with Johansson on the back, and they end up on the top of this, like, giant R. You know, it's like a big R on the side of the building. And the R starts to fall. And they fall with the R, but mystically or magically, they end up in this net while everything gets destroyed on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge drop, like 30 floors.
Hmm.
And they make it. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable how they make it. But the greatest scene, chase scene, one of the greatest I've ever seen, they're on this big truck, a flatbed truck with these big giant train wheels. They look like giant dumbbells, you know, the axle and everything. You know, those suckers are huge steel, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just pushing them off at the cars that are coming after them, and they're just taking the shit out left and right. You got to check it out. It's really good. I give it three Spiny Normans.
Three Spinies.
And guess what?
What?
Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars as well.
Well, he's on a 4-star scale. Ours is 5.
Oh, I might have to upgrade that.
Or should we move to 4?
Well, let's put it this way. I watched it twice since I bought it.
Whoa.
So.
Scarlett Johansson looking good?
Yeah, I mean, but she's real badass, too. Even my son Nathan watched it with us the other night, and there's a scene where Scarlett Johansson hits this guy in the face with a giant monkey wrench. You know, those things are huge steel.
Right.
And my son goes, oh, that's going to leave a mark.
Mm. Tommy boy.
He's only 7. Going to be 7. Oh, that's going to leave a mark. That was sweet. Yeah, so that's my, and I saw Doom with The Rock. That has got to be one of the stupidest fucking movies I've ever seen, man.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
Well, you know, there's this one part towards the end where they actually do the sequence where this dude gets jacked up with a bunch of, with some sort of genetic hormone that gives him super strength, and he starts walking through the facility and he's shooting, you know, all the zombies and stuff. And they have it set up so the camera's like you're the third person,
right,
or whatever it is,
first person
shooter, like the video game Doom. And if I was firing up some doobage, I would have dug that.
Oh man,
but no,
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 no.
I wasn't medicated at all.
Huh.
So I give that one about a 1.5.
1.5 on yeah. Doom. The Doom.
And then I did see Curious George today.
At the theater.
At the theater.
And that's a, that's about what?
The kids, it's about Curious George. Remember the books?
Oh, yeah, I remember the books, yeah.
As a little kid.
Well, you know, there's a guy who helped translate the books for Disney into animation.
Disney?
And, Disney. And they found that guy in his garbage.
Yeah, I heard.
Did you hear that? Somebody put the guy underneath his garbage and then put the garbage on top of him like a week before garbage day.
Yeah.
And a neighbor or maybe the garbage man who came by found his arm sticking out of the garbage, and they still don't know what the hell happened to that guy.
That's nasty.
That is nasty.
So did you hear Cheney shot somebody today?
I did hear that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. that's unbelievable. What were they doing, pheasant hunting?
I don't know.
That's so goddamn stupid.
I'll tell you. Ow. No. Did you got the story?
Yeah, I got the story. Don't you got the story?
I got the story.
Here's the thing about it, though. If you're president or vice president, here's what they got to do. If you want to run for office, if you want to be one of the most powerful men in the world, you can't take a goddamn vacation, okay?
Right. You can't with go guns.
Doing something stupid. It's pheasant humping to shoot somebody.
It was quail, actually.
Quail,
they're
whatever.
They're little tiny birds.
Yeah. What's the deal with that? What is Cheney thinking?
I don't know.
The guy's vice president, he's got more money than almost Oprah, probably. And he goes quail hunting. Is that the stupidest goddamn thing you've ever heard? Why doesn't he go like coos hunting? You know what I'm saying, John?
I know. It's
coos
just
hunting.
Insane.
But no, he's going to go quail hunting.
He shoots one of his... How do you fucking shoot one of your friends, man? Oh, there he goes.
Well,
how about that? Look at that. About the, oh, wait. There he goes. How about that? How over about there. Stand right there. Oh, sorry. Sorry. How about that?
You know, on MySpace, relative to MySpace.
What was he using, too? AK-47 or something?
No, a shotgun.
Oh.
On MySpace, relative to MySpace, we're like Dick Cheney because we're in our 40s. Nobody is on MySpace in their 40s. But here's who Dick Cheney goes hunting with. Harry Whittington, 78.
Oh, my God.
Can that guy even carry a shotgun? I mean, what the hell is going on?
How about that? I'll tell you. Hey, over by there. Hey, stand by there. Oh, sorry. Oh, my God. Keep shooting them.
Hunting at
God
the Armstrong Ranch in South Texas, a property owned by Catherine Armstrong.
Oh,
Armstrong said Whittington was mostly injured on his right side, with the pellets hitting his cheek, neck, and chest, and he was taken to the hospital by ambulance.
Damn it.
Cheney's spokesman, Leanne McBride, said the vice president was with Whittington, a lawyer from Austin, Texas, and his wife at the hospital on Sunday afternoon. Armstrong said she was watching from a car while Cheney, Whittington, and another hunter got out of the vehicle to shoot at a covey of quail.
Wait a minute. They just jumped out of the
right,
car?
Right. So they're driving in a car on this ranch. And Dick Cheney,
stop!
Hey now, hey, I'll tell you something. Pull over here. I'll tell you. Let me tell you. I see some quail. Whittington shot at a bird and went to look for it in the tall grass, while Cheney and a third hunter walked to another spot and found a second covey.
And then fired away.
Whittington came up from behind the vice president and the other hunter and didn't signal them or indicate to them or announce himself. The vice president didn't see him. The covey flushed and the vice president picked out a bird and was following it and shot. And by God, Harry was in the line of fire and got peppered pretty good, John. What a bunch of dumbasses.
A crooks and liars, they already got a picture up there, and it's a picture of Elmer Fudd with Cheney's head on it. And Daffy Duck missing a bunch of, feathers off his ass.
John, it knocked him silly. said said Whittington, was bleeding but not very injured, and Cheney was very apologetic. It broke the skin. It knocked him silly, but he was fine. He was talking. His eyes were open. It didn't get in his eyes or anything like that. Oh, that's great. He's just got buckshot all over the right side of his fucking body because Dick Cheney was spooked by a quail.
Well, you know, he's he's a chicken hawk, man. He's a chicken hawk. He wants people to die in a war, but he can't.
Right.
He's a big fucking pussy.
He can't even handle a quail. Fortunately, the vice president has got a lot of medical people around him, John, so they were right there and probably more cautious than they would have been. And you know why he has a lot of medical people? Because his heart is about to go any
That's
moment.
Right. It's going
to
blast.
That stupid ass. This is something that happens from time to time. Y'all know I've been peppered pretty well myself, said Armstrong. These retards with their shotguns and quails. Too bad Cheney wasn't the one got his ass shot off by Whittington.
You have a grabber right there.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
No doubt.
Oh, I can't wait. There's got to be a soundboard or something coming out this week with that shit. We'll just have to make one.
How are we doing on time?
We're doing great, Scott. We're at 31.
31. Well, I have some celebrity news, John.
You do?
I do.
What do you got?
Heather Locklear reads Richie Sambora's email.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard, but they're getting a divorce,
yeah,
John.
People magazine has a whole thing about it.
The pair are headed for divorce, and Us, Star, and People think they know why. The consensus, Locklear gave the Bon Jovi guitarist the boot after she found an email full of sexy pictures from his former personal assistant. Star says the email read, "Hi, hope you like these." Locklear had long been suspicious of the woman, so she surprised Sambora with divorce papers. But wait! Richie pleads innocent. A friend tells People Richie's saying that nothing ever happened, that he never asked for the pictures, John. Another source says it's absolutely not true. They had an affair, but acknowledges that the email incident wasn't a great thing to happen when people are on the brink of breaking up anyway. That's for sure. So too bad for Richie Sambora and Heather Locklear. And Heather Locklear, she was married to Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Then she went to Richie Sambora. Who's next?
The hell was she thinking?
For Heather Locklear. Maybe John and Scott, huh? John and Scott marry Heather Locklear in a private ceremony. Also, Denise Richards reads Charlie Sheen's email, too. Did you know that?
No.
Star reports that Sheen and Richards were breaking up. Richards discovered an email Sheen had written to a prostitute. Richards then wrote to the woman, who said she was just one of dozens of pay-for-play companions provided for Charlie by a madam. Sheen's former madam of choice, Heidi Fleiss, offered these words of wisdom in Us. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, not even if you are as hot as Denise Richards. Fucking A, man.
Damn.
And Denise Richards is hot. And she should have been on my honorable mention, John.
Yeah.
Because she's a hot piece of ass.
She sure is.
The one thing that was difficult to swallow, though, was the James Bond movie where she played a physicist.
Right.
I just couldn't get over that. There's no way that a woman that hot would be a physicist. You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
John?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nick Lachey, also in celebrity news, John. Nick Lachey? Nick Lachey? You know who he is,
yeah,
don't you, John?
Yeah. Jessica Simpson.
Ex-Jessica Simpson.
Right.
Shares his pain. The singer isn't talking about his breakup with Jessica Simpson, but he does have a new single, What's Left for Me, that expresses some of his anguish, and Us reprints every word. Here's the chorus, John. 'Cause I want you, and I feel you crawling underneath my skin, like a hunger, like a burning. to find the place I've never been. Now I'm broken and I'm faded. I'm half the man I thought I would be.
Oh, boy, is my face
You
red.
Can have all that's left. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what's left of me? Nick Lachey, you are a goddamn pussy. Get out of it. Snap out of it, my man.
Well, you know it is Valentine's Day coming up, Scott.
So what? He's got to know that he married a retard right off the bat. A hot retard, but he had to know that she's retarded. Now, when you get married to somebody, the looks aren't going to last, okay? And that is proven by Kathleen Turner. All right, John? And I left a post on the forum. I saw Law and Order, and Kathleen Turner was on Law and Order the other night.
Looked like a bag of shit with eyes.
Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened to that woman. Arguably one of the hottest women ever, Kathleen Turner. Especially in Body Heat and Man with Two Brains.
Flying monkeys.
And she was on Law and Order, and if you didn't know who Kathleen Turner was when she was younger, you would have thought, that's a man playing
right.
a woman. That's
what is
not
wrong with you?
That is the one of the most drastic slides downhill in the history yeah. of hot women of all time. That's right up there with Elizabeth Taylor, John.
If I clean the garage, will you take me to wrestling?
Because in her day, Elizabeth Taylor was super hot.
Yeah.
And look what happened to her. Kathleen Turner went down the same goddamn path.
Yeah.
So, and this is a PSA to all you young folks out there, especially you guys. Women's looks aren't going to last forever, and they may turn drastically bad, downhill. So you got to like what's inside that person. You got to be able to, that person has to challenge you. That person you have to be able to grow with and be challenged by. And there's no way Jessica Simpson is going to challenge anybody, John, except a two-year-old.
Huh?
So what? Nick Lachey, get over it already.
Huh?
He's going to be able to get other poontang. Yeah. Get somebody that's challenging.
Right.
Not this stupid-ass
right.
Jessica Simpson, whose 15 minutes are almost over.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Minutes.
You guys suck.
So, well, you know it is Valentine's Day coming up, Scott, so I don't want to, you know, this is all negative. I want to talk about some relationships, you know, that first love at first sight.
Okay.
Okay. So can I read something out of People magazine?
Of course.
Okay. Way before Brokeback Mountain, Richie Olson knew what it felt like to get swept off his feet by a cowboy. He was at a 2001 gay rodeo in Denver when cutting across
Wait
the
Wait a minute.
Arena,
hold on.
Yeah.
There's such a thing as a gay rodeo?
Yes, there is, Scott, and I'd appreciate it if you just listen on.
Can okay? I need to
I
ask another question.
Yeah, what's that?
So, are the animals gay? Are the
I don't know.
The people who participate in the rodeo gay? And how do they prove that? Is that like the gay Olympics?
I am sex blind. Or gender blind. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm just asking questions,
I don't know.
That's all?
I don't know.
Okay, so you didn't really analyze the entire
no,
story here.
No, I would just like to read the story because it made me cry.
Okay, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry
okay, please.
For the interruption.
He was at a 2001 gay rodeo in Denver when, cutting across the arena to visit some friends, he was all but trampled by a rugged man in tight Wranglers charging past on a horse. Richie dusted himself off and thought, he's a Marlboro man. He says, it was just an instant attraction for me. Milo Bardwell, a horse trainer who competes in barrel racing events, had a Ledger Gyllenhaal moment. Gyllenhaal. I thought, wow, this guy's hot. He says, I asked him if he wanted to keep my horse warmed up while I was in another event. Richie, 32, a finance manager for American Express, hopped up and rode away with Milo's heart. Some guys say they can ride. Then you see them bounce around like a yo-yo, says Milo 39, but this guy could ride. A tube steak dinner sealed the deal. This is for us, says Milo. Our love is deep-rooted in my ass.
Wait a minute.
Both grew up.
You're reading out of People magazine?
Oh, I'm sorry. I screwed the words up here. Our love is deep-rooted in the soul of a soul kind of thing. Both grew up in conservative Utah towns. Both had trouble coming out. But I'm happy with who I am, says Richie, who was married before meeting Milo. Now they live on a ranch in Harriman. Harriman.
Harriman?
Harriman. H-E-R-R-I-M-A-N. Harriman, Utah. And compete in barrel racing events. Most straight cowboys accept them because they know we're serious about riding, says Milo. More importantly,
each other.
They both finally. Oh, that's funny, Scott.
A deep crack mountain.
Quit you.
Butt crack mountain. We kid the gays. More importantly, they both finally feel at home on the range. We're committed to each other,
you
says
Milo. You mean at homo on the range.
We're committed to each other, says Milo, and I no longer have to run him over with my horse to get his attention.
John, I'm fixing to cut you in half.
So, you know, on Valentine's Day, some nice things happen.
That is a special story.
Yeah.
Special. Maybe that'll inspire Tony Hearn.
Well, we're out of time, Scott. We're going
to
have to continue with part three.
Part three.
So we'll be back with John and Scott here on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Make sure you listen to Punky and Kinky Sex Radio.
And Spike and Rachel.
That's right, Spike and Rachel. Sorry. We'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.